Hello, hello, and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Kristen, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Bridgerton Season 4, Episode 5, Yes or No?
Yes or No?
We'd like to go with yes.
So would Benedict. Yeah, we have a lot. Oh, we're so thrilled to be back in the Bridgerton universe. We have our usual caveats. I think it's going to be caveats, yeah. For this show, obviously, we are going to have spoilers. There will be cursing. And we are having things to drink. I thought we'd get creative this time. So what are you having, Natalie?
Well, we both decided to call ours the same thing of Benedict Bridgerton's last brain cell, or only brain cell.
I was calling it single brain cell, but that's
yeah,
okay.
Either way. So mine, I've had kind of a variation on this before. It's Underwood Rosé Bubbles. It's a can. And that poured over some strawberry gelato. And it's good.
I am having a variation on things we have done before. This is basically a Rossini. So it's got the strawberry puree and sparkling wine. But I put a large pink whip shot of strawberry in there. If you've not had a whip shot, it comes in a can. It's fantastic. And I put some gray sparkling stuff on it to have like gray matter.
Why?
And it looks like incredibly creepy. It's so funny. But it actually tastes pretty good. Can we taste?
Sure.
All right. Yep.
Yes. Kind of tastes like cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
Or tutti frutti is kind of more what it tastes
possible.
Like to me.
Possible. In any case, there's so much to cover. And we really are kind of struggling with how to divide some of these things out. I think one of the things we can definitely divide out is the Penelope Queen Charlotte portion of this, which is very small, very boring. And actually the whole Queen Charlotte part of this, it's not even really a framing device. It's just basically at some point Queen Charlotte doesn't realize that she's given Alice Mondrich the position as a lady in waiting. But she, Lady Danbury really wants Alice to step into her role. And so the method of doing that is that Alice is going to need to follow up on whether or not Miss Hollis was the woman that Benedict was interested in, because, you know, the Queen's wanting to follow up on her bet. She is also unhappy with Lady Whistledown's column, which this column deals with mistresses, because I guess the rumor came to Penelope that Benedict's friend who had the mistress was like being very overt about it. And so the way Lady Whistledown column normally calls out people by name, it doesn't this time, but everybody knows. And so at some point, the woman who got called out as being a mistress shows up at Featherington House to bitch out Penelope, like, oh, you're ruining my life. And Penelope's like, I'm really sorry. I didn't put your name in there, but everybody knows because you were indiscreet. And that's on you.
Yeah, she's not really taking a lot of responsibility for her indiscretion. Because even though she, like, mentions, I had this plan of, like, I was going to save money and I'd be independent and all that stuff. It's like, well, that's great, sweetie. You still were very indiscreet.
Well, and you still were susceptible to being dumped at any time. This isn't a marriage. It's a mistress. You were going to be dumped for somebody younger or prettier, or just whenever the wife found out and he couldn't take it anymore. That's the nature of being a mistress. It is a very unstable way of life. So she had counted on things she shouldn't have counted on, basically. But that's pretty much it from a Charlotte thing.
Well, no, Penelope goes up to her and it's just like, hey, I don't really want to do this anymore.
Mm.
And
she does tell the queen, she's like, I want to retire. And the queen's like, no, I can't have people retiring. Lady Danbury is wanting to retire.
To do that? Why?
Ah!
And Alice, meanwhile, is like feeling really awkward about the fact that she might have to spy on the Bridgertons because she has now entrenched herself in that whole gossip thing. And so she goes.
That's going to be discussed more.
Yeah, that'll be more at Hyacinth's
Hyacinth has a recital, like a practice ball.
That explains why she was allowed to do what she does. But there's also another moment later in this part that I'm not this episode, but this part of the season that she also gets to have fun, which I love. Either way. So yeah, that's Queen Charlotte. She's up to her usual bullshit of no one's allowed to change.
And we really don't care.
So again, I understand the emotion behind it. I understand the idea of her not wanting to let go of Lady Danbury far more than I am. Oh, there's no good gossip and you won't give me gossip. It's just like, what? What do you mean? Like, yes, you've had an adversary in Penelope, like a friendly adversary in Penelope for a while.
Well, it's partly how she finds out stuff. Like she's very insulated because anytime she goes anywhere, the people stop gossiping, they stop talking. And so she wants to know, she wants to have an inside track. And if Penelope can't do it, and Penelope says, I can't do it anymore because I'm not anonymous anymore. And people are feeding me things rather than I just find out about stuff. It changes the dynamic.
Well, she also does, and this is the quiet part out loud. She also just doesn't want to be like controlled by the queen and being like, all right, well, I want this narrative and like all this stuff. And it's just like, but I want to write what I want to write and I want to move on. I want to probably like write a book
Do
or
something
do
else.
something else, anything else.
Anything else? So yeah.
But yeah,
Anyway,
she's
I think we spent way too much time on this. Because
I'm
I know.
expanding on it. Either way, so what should we cover next?
We can talk about Francesca.
Yes, let's talk about Francesca. I actually like this development because
I don't really
I
love it, honestly, but go
All right, well, we can discuss that. But
ahead.
I like this development only because it explains their mentality of like how they're going to navigate the Michaela Francesca relationship in
Yeah,
a
it
more
does.
clear direction.
All right.
Because I was concerned.
We haven't even talked about what happens. Let's
Well,
talk
no,
about
but
how.
I'm just going to say what I was concerned about before we talk about how they alleviated my concerns. I was concerned that they were going to go like an enemies to lovers kind of thing because, spoiler alert, Michaela and Francesca will end up together. But the whole thing was, there was this weird thing of like maybe there was a love at first sight angle in this, but Francesca was the love at first sight instead of Michaela, which it's supposed to be Michaela, but it's not. And then she is feeling awkward around Michaela and all that stuff. What, how they explain it in this episode, I think, makes a little bit more sense.
Well, it certainly doesn't look like love at first sight for either of
Exactly.
them.
And that's what I like about it, of like, okay, we're back on track with the book a little bit more. A little bit more. We can talk about your concerns in a minute.
So what they show in this episode, initially is Francesca's like getting up in the middle of the night because John and Michaela are like loud and boisterous and it's 4 in the morning and she's like, hey, I'm really glad you guys are having such a good time, but I need some sleep and we're supposed to be up for breakfast in the morning. And then Michaela's trying to take over the scheduling. Apparently this has been her MO. It's like, well, why do we have to have breakfast at a certain time? Why do we have to do things that way? And finally Francesca does stand up for herself. She's like, I don't want to do it your way. And so she kind of And she's frustrated by the fact that they have to host a party for Michaela
Yeah, that's a
being in
sudden
town.
development. And it's during Hyacinth's dance recital thing.
And so Francesca is like, well, great, this is something I have to do. And she mentions to John, Francesca does, that, hey, why don't we get Michaela her own guy? So she can get off our hands a little bit. And he says, no. Because he's clearly aware that Michaela is not interested in a traditional marriage mart thing, which Francesca does not know, has not picked up on. But part of how we know that is that at the soiree, some guy expresses interest in Michaela to Francesca, and Francesca introduces him, and both John and Michaela are pissed at Francesca for doing this. And Francesca's like, how in the hell was I supposed to know this? That this is a problem.
Well, no, John tells her, hey, she doesn't want to be introduced to anybody because the night before, I think it's the night before, John and Francesca are talking, and John's being real has been really stressed, and he expresses that Michaela being there has brought a lot of levity, and he's very happy about that. And she's just like, is that the only reason why you're stressed, Parliament? Because that's what he says. Is it also because we aren't with child yet? And he's just like, no, it's not because of that, because that's her big vulnerability right now, is that she hasn't gotten pregnant yet.
Yeah, but she's also upset that he's spending more time with Michaela than with her.
Well, that's
And
also
I can
true.
see, like, you've had very little time, just the two of you. He promised, like, when you're here in London, it's just going to be us. And she shows up uninvited. And Francesca actually says that. I was proud of her. I'm proud of the Francesca development in this, that
Oh,
she
I love it.
speaks so much more than she
I'm
normally
so proud of
does.
her.
And
I
then
was
she's
worried they
like,
were
you
going to.
show up uninvited. I'm all insecure about my marriage, and you're making it worse because you're telling me that I am not even being a good spouse to John.
Well, no,
What is
not
up with
telling
that?
me that. She's showing her that
No, she
because.
actually says it. She's like, well, he could use a little, of my chaos. You should do more. She says those words, Michaela does. And Francesca's kind of like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah, she. It's a very clear opposition. First of all, I would also like to say at the soiree, Michaela is wearing a beautiful red dress. I really liked the red.
Yeah, I do too.
I thought it
You don't see red on this
popped.
show
No,
much.
it was a great. Well, the only other time I could think of for red was Cressida coming out as Lady Whistledown, which we all know we love that moment. So this was a great look for her, and it really does show off her character. And she's clearly like the life of the party wherever she goes, but she confesses in this moment, Michaela does to Francesca, that I'm sorry I came unannounced. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but I only really feel comfortable around John, and I was worried about him.
Right, she's well, and she says, "I know. I realize now I don't have to be worried about him."
Yeah.
Now, none of these conversations ever occur in the book, so
Well, we don't
because we
see this
get
chapter of their
zero,
lives
right,
really in the
exactly,
book.
at all.
So I'm okay with seeing some of it now because in the book, it was really clear, straight line of, all right, well, we're going to just be friends and there was no growing pains really. But for this, I think it makes a little bit more sense for there to be. And considering the route they're going with Francesca being a lot more introverted. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, Francesca says, okay, well, I have to admit, I've never seen John as happy as he is with you. And that made me feel envious and that I can't give him that.
Yeah,
And
both of them are very honest and more or less straightforward in this
I
conversation, which
love
is
it.
not like anything you see in Bridgerton ever.
I love it so much. It's so clear so quickly.
Right, but it clears the air on multiple emotional levels. It does. There is still like an undercurrent of something.
Yeah, but there's a reason why.
Yeah.
And we'll dive into that, I guess, eventually. But it's just like sparks for now. But yeah, so Michaela she notices that Francesca's actually a little bit drunk, and that's why felt
Yeah,
like she
like
could
she.
speak so freely. But Michaela likes this version of Francesca being a little bit more outgoing, a little bit more outspoken, and so she brings out that side of her a little bit more.
Yeah.
Much like she does with a lot of other people. I think
Yeah,
that's
she's
Michaela's
very
thing.
boisterous. She's she,
Yeah.
and she's meant to be boisterous.
One
So.
thing I will say about this second part of the season is, and correct me if I'm wrong, we see a lot of, we do get to see quite a bit of John, Francesca, and Michaela's dynamic and how it shifts and all that stuff. We never see Eloise talk to Michaela.
No, and there are a number of things that are odd about this, and we're going to get to them as they come along. But
Yeah.
I do think that some of this, like laying a friendly groundwork between the two of them, between Francesca and Michaela, is
Important.
it's important, but it's different from what we had been led to believe.
Yeah, and I'm
So
glad that they went this
this may
direction.
be part of the whole. Hey, we talked about it in season 7 of Outlander. It's like, we're going to pretend season 6 didn't happen. We're going to pretend like some of this intro stuff didn't happen. Okay?
Yeah, that you remember at the end
Starting
of
over,
season
yeah,
three when
no.
she seemed love struck? No. No, don't worry about that. But
Mm-mm.
we're changing the narrative because we heard you guys be upset about it. And
Yeah.
I think that was a valid criticism of ours of just like,
Whoa.
you're really changing the book. Like, it's one thing to change the book, like with the gender. It's a completely different thing to change like the dynamic.
Right, who the
So,
aggressor is, and
yeah.
who's in love with whom for, it's just silly.
Yeah, and so I'm glad that they switched that up quite a bit. And I do think that them and Francesca even at the end of the conversation is just like, we'll be friends then. And Michaela is just like, I could use more outspoken friends. Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah.
And
So
so that's
that's
nice.
pretty much it as far
Yeah.
as that storyline goes. The vast majority of this episode is about Benedict and Sophie, and mostly about
Good.
Benedict having a single brain cell, which is located in his penis, in case you're wondering.
It develops.
It gets larger. Is that what you're talking about?
I meant the brain cell, but
I meant the
that's
penis.
also true.
Whatever.
Either way, we begin the episode, and there are going to be other things weaved into this.
Yes. Including some bros. I love bros.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so we begin the episode. Benedict is awaiting Sophie's response because he's expecting he because he didn't take her running out of the room down the stairs to back with her friends as no, I'm not going to be your fucking mistress, you absolute dumbass.
Yeah, because
Even
he
though he
is
should have.
such a fucking dumbass. This
He's
is
such a
just
fucking dumbass.
insane.
He's such a
He's
guy.
such a guy.
He's
Well,
such a
I mean, he's
guy.
not just a guy.
He's
He's
a
like, he's a
dumbass guy.
dumbass guy. There you
And
go.
this episode is, for the most part, it's a bit full of dumbass guys. Like, some are younger, but you see a trend. But they're also like balanced out by like smart guys, smart married guys.
Which Gregory of all people is
We'll
actually on
discuss
the money
that.
with that. But
We'll
we're gonna get
discuss
to that
that in a
in a
minute.
minute.
But Benedict sends Sophie a note. And it's like, hey, will you be my mistress? Check yes or no.
It's such a great
It's
school,
essentially like that. It's like passing notes
Are
in
we going
class.
together?
Meet me, Benedict, underlined. It's just like,
And
Benedict,
she does
shut the fuck
the
up.
thing we should do, burn it.
Throw it in the fire. It's not
Exactly.
worth it. And he's just like, oh, how could she just not answer?
Like he's losing his mojo because he can't make a basket with his.
Meanwhile, poor Sophie is feeling very uncomfortable
I can't
because,
imagine why.
but she meets up with Alfie, our favorite man.
Oh, I love Alfie.
I love
And he gets to use his
him!
Sophie. He
Sophie!
does the full Welsh gay friend Sophie up for us.
Sophie!
So good.
I love him. But he
Funny.
gets a full recap of part one, at least the parts he missed. And he's just like, what do you mean? What? But I mean, like, he offers a different perspective for Sophie or Sophie about
Sophie.
how being a mistress could be a comfortable life for her. Like, it would be better
And
than being a maid because he knows that she deserves better.
Sophie's like, of all people, I know what being a mistress is. And he's kind of like, ah, okay, well, what are you gonna do? Because part of the reason that Sophie apparently had sent him a note to meet with him is that she wants to find another job. She wants to get away from Benedict, essentially, because she's afraid like of what how tempted she's gonna be. And so he's like, well, what do you want to do? And we're going to be hiring Penwood House because the new Lady Penwood, the new real Lady Penwood. So
Yeah, let's discuss
they
that real quick.
explain, Araminta, of course, is the widow Penwood. There is a male heir that inherited the title, but he's been living in the country. He suddenly decided to come to town because he's newly married. And the new Lady Penwood is redoing Penwood House in her style, and once they move in, they are going to need additional servants. And he's like, "Hey, you can come work with us. I'm hoping this new Lady Penwood isn't as bad as the old Lady Penwood, but whatever." He calls the old Lady Penwood a she devil, which she's like, "It felt good to say
It's true.
that." So he's like, "We could try to get you a job there," and so he's kind of like, look, if I get a letter of introduction from Lady Bridgerton, I should be fine. He's like, you have a letter? And she's like, I'm gonna get one.
Meanwhile, Benedict is talking to Will, and he's just like, oh, my life is so hard. And
And Will's
Will's just
kind
like,
of
you absolute fucking dumbass.
like,
Why did you think that was a good idea?
well, not I mean, it's not that he thinks the talking about being a mistress is a bad idea. What he says is you have to sell it a little bit. You have to like sell the fantasy of if the world were a better place, I would love you so much and we could be together all the time. And this is the only way we can be together at all. Yeah. I love you, be my mistress.
Yeah, in his opinion, he needs to work on his framing.
Right. And Benedict's like, well, I can't say that because that wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be true because the world is the way it is. Like, it, we'll never be able to be together. And Will's like, oh, God. You absolute dumbass. And he is correct.
And he is correct. Meanwhile, Sophie.
Well, we have skipped over, and I want to, like, in passing, mention the fact that Violet and Lord Anderson have a subplot here, too, which we will include, sort of.
I mean, they're still having sex. They're still enjoying it. She's kind of trying to broach the subject with the kids. The kids don't care.
Except Benedict,
who we'll talk about later. But next is, so Hyacinth is giving Eloise the cold shoulder ever since the insult at Francesca's party. Mm-hmm. And Eloise is trying to make it up to her only because, well, she's trying to make it up to her regardless, but she's really mostly doing it because Violet's like, all right, well, if you're not going to be sitting in on Hyacinth's finishing lessons, you're going to have to get back out there. And Eloise is like, wait, Hyacinth, I'm so sorry.
Well, but Hyacinth is very clear. Like, I don't want you to be part of this. You're not interested. You're basically impeding my progress. Mm-hmm. Go away. And then she wants to go and like decorate and whatever. While this is happening, Sophie approaches Violet, and Violet's kind of like, something's going on. She's like, is there a reason you want to leave so soon? Is there a problem with someone in the house? Oh, no. There's nothing to do with someone in the house. It's someone outside of the house. And Violet's like,
Well, she doesn't say that part, but we all know she...
Violet definitely knows. So Violet asks Mrs. Wilson, like, make some inquiries about Miss Beck.
And just before we forget, Miss Wilson goes to the market, mentions the name to Varley, and Varley has now since heard that name in association with Araminta's, as Araminta's maid and the shoe clips and the whole shebang. And she doesn't say anything about knowing who Sophie is, but Wilson goes back to Violet with a little bit of information.
Right, that she had talked to one of the other housekeepers who was there, who had worked with a previous Miss Beck, an older lady who they're pretty sure has got to be Sophie's mother, who was a maid. And they're like, she must be illegitimate because she's using her mom's name. Mm-hmm. And Violet lets slip, like, well, I was hoping she might be legitimate.
Yeah, well, that really would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Either way. And Wilson's like, why? And she's just like, no reason.
Reason.
You can read her son like a fucking book.
Yeah.
Either way.
Can't we all?
Benedict corners Sophie when he invites Eloise out to shop.
For Hyacinth. To get back in Hyacinth's good graces. He's like, you can buy her a feather. Here, I'm going to keep Sophie company out here.
So unsubtle. So
transparent. Like, I'm sorry if you're Eloise and Francesca's with her. If you're one of the two of them, you're kind of like, first of all, why does he say, oh, Eloise, Francesca, and Sophie? Like, why is he acknowledging the maid? That is not
a... They like Sophie, so I don't think they mind it, but it would come off as weird.
Yeah, it would come off as weird. I'll stay out here with Sophie. He's like, why?
Because it's woman work or whatever. They probably ever just think of that internalized misogyny and all that shit. Either way. So they talk kind of Sophie and Benedict talk. Mm-hmm. So Benedict's just like, did you get my note? And then she's just like, yes. And I didn't respond for a reason. And she's just like, we got caught up in the moment. And he's just like, was that all it was for you? And he's clearly very hurt by this because it meant a lot to him. And we know deep down it did mean a lot for Sophie, but she's trying to hide it because he's still asking her to be his mistress. Like, he does still ask, hey, so what's your answer? And she's just like, I'm insulted. No.
No. The answer is no.
You dumbass. No, I don't want to be a mistress. And if you knew me at all, you would know that is the last thing I want. You absolute fucking dumbass.
And of course he doesn't. So he's still confused.
Yeah, he doesn't know why.
Because he's obviously dumb.
I think that the idea of, like, even if he... like, didn't know any of her background, any of that, Will still has a great point from earlier of like, no woman or man or anybody likes to be hidden. Nobody likes to be kept a secret. They want to be loved openly and loudly. Well, most people do. And
Yes.
they just want to feel like they can openly express themselves. And so when he broaches this subject, it should be a little bit, like Will said, it should be handled with care. This is him trying with care, and it still doesn't work because obviously she still doesn't
Well,
want
right.
that.
He's still very direct about, I don't want you to be my mistress. And so, because he doesn't, and he doesn't even soft pedal it even in this conversation. He's like, I wanted to see you. I wanted to know if you had an answer. It's not like he suddenly does what Will told him to do. He's a dumbass.
Yeah, he doesn't do
And
anything.
so if he's like, no, I mean, I don't want to be a mistress. So moving on, there is an occasion where Sophie is cleaning. I guess she just randomly decides to go into Benedict's office at Bridgerton House in the dark.
This is also after Benedict has a very brief and forgettable conversation with the guy who had the mistress, who's miserable now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to miss my mistress. And Benedict, I do love this part, is Benedict gets this like kind of scowl, like my one brain cell hurts. This is a complex concept that my one brain cell cannot handle. What? You have to get rid of your mistress at some point? So Benedict goes in, catches Sophie in his office. She has been looking at the sketches he's made of the lady in silver, and she's like, who's this woman to you? And are you in love with this woman? Do you have feelings for her? Is this someone you would have married? Would you have treated her the way you treat me? Would you have asked her to be your mistress? And he's like, you're not understanding. I don't love this woman in silver. You're the only person in my life that I'm interested in at all anymore. And I want to, like be with you all the time.
And Sophie starts getting in her head about it, and she's just like, "Well, but you didn't answer my question about like if you would have married that girl, if I was that girl, then would you have treated me differently? Would you want to also keep me a secret? I highly doubt it. You would have treated me with more respect, and you would have done this and that differently." And she starts like envying her double self
It
because that's what she does because she.
was
She
a
knows that
fantasy.
she's
It
not,
was
it's
a
not
fantasy.
real, but it still is a possibility that she had, and it reminds her of what she doesn't have.
Right. And she lays out far more clearly than she does in the book. She lays it out very clearly in this conversation what being a mistress means is for, she's like, you want to take away like that respect within the relationship, but you now also want to take away like I have a job, I have a role, I
My
have a function, I have a
reputation.
reputation, I have all of these things as a maid, and you want to take that away too. So then I have nothing. I have nothing if I'm your mistress. And he's kind of like, my brain cell hurts. I must run away. And so he runs. And he does. And so the storyline proceeds. I do want, because I want to spend a little time on one other conversation Benedict has with people, or Benedict is present for. So he goes to have a conversation with Colin.
This is my absolute favorite moment of, and it was not my favorite moment of this episode. It is up there though.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I really liked this episode, especially
It's
on
I did too.
rewatch.
I did too.
I we to, for context, we didn't mention this. This is only our second watch of this part of the season because we want to get these episodes out to you guys,
Yes,
and because we care and we are excited. And last time we had a little bit more time with the episodes. We had watched it. It was off our third watch that we did recordings about it.
right, and we may or may not be able to do that with some of these episodes. Haven't decided yet, but right now this is second watch.
And I will confess, like when I was first watching it, I was watching it like on the middle of my Thursday at work during my lunch break, but I mean, it still was at work, and so I didn't. I don't know. I would get distracted. I would do whatever, and so I didn't get to fully appreciate everything that the
Me
episode would
too.
have to offer.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely. And that's why we have to watch this at
yeah,
least a second
it's
time,
my
even a
only
third.
favorite. And so, like moments like this that got
All
a
right.
chuckle out of
So,
me the first time, got so much more out of me this time.
right. No, I definitely enjoyed this the first time. So Bennett goes to Colin's house to be like, Colin, explain what women want to me. Like he did with Will's. Like, I'm still confused. My brain still hurts. Please explain this to me.
I
So
need a drink.
when he shows up to Colin's house, Colin has guests. Gregory is there, and the two Featherington spouses are there.
Sheed's guy and Dank.
Yes. And so
First of all, first, before we even get started, it is very briefly mentioned in the first part that Colin Dankworth and Cheese Guy Finch, Mr. Finch, they get together for a weekly, monthly, whatever it is, supper club,
Yeah.
and
They have a
they a
dining club.
dining club where they
They're
like
so
get to
cute.
talk about their wives and like their lives and stuff like that and catch up. And it's really fun because the girls, the wives, the sisters, they all get to go to either the Finch house or Dankworth house or wherever, and they get to do the same thing,
Right.
which is nice sister bonding time for
But I love what I love about this is that like Benedict comes in and Lord Dankwith or whatever his name is, he's kind of like, oh, we get to enjoy our imported cheeses. And Mr. Finch is like, would you like some taleggio?
Oh my God. I literally love these guys so fucking much. The possibilities of this trio are endless, and I love it so much.
And the reality
And
is we have so little of Colin and we miss Susan.
I have been a Mr. Finch fan
Oh
since
yes.
season one.
Yeah, for sure.
I
Me
love
too,
that man.
honestly. Mr.
And
Cheddar, love him.
he would, and this was discussed like by the actress who plays Philippa, but she has mentioned that it went in the infamous scene from season three of like inserts himself
No.
where she has the
No.
theory that he knew what to do, but he didn't want to rush her, and so he would just come in his pants every time just to be like kind.
My thought about this whole John Francesca thing is like, this is why you're not pregnant.
Yeah, and
Like,
it's
he's
a kind,
being
he's
way too
obviously just
nice.
being sweet and all that stuff, and it's
It
just very, oh, it's so sweet.
is. It's
Either
great.
way, so yeah, I love Finch and I like Dankworth a lot. He's
Oh,
so
yeah. But
funny.
here's part of what's funny. So, Gregory is having some, he is curious about how to behave at Hyacinth's recital.
Because there are gonna
Like,
be
there are
girls
gonna be
there.
girls there, and he's like, we don't get to see girls.
I also love this because I noticed something in this rewatch that I didn't the first time because it was at like 6 a.m. But but we were watching and I'll bring it up when we get to the recital, but we are seeing little bits of Gregory from the book.
Yeah.
Or no,
Yes.
more specifically, the Gregory from the book I wanted.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Because in the book,
He could have
he
been
could
this
have
guy
been this
that they
guy.
are
Because in the
creating.
book, he is self-described in his narration and his POV as a
Like
romantic.
a kind of a hopeless romantic,
Yeah,
more
and
like.
he,
Like worse than Colin.
yeah, no, and way worse than Colin. And I think that these are the seeds being planted for that characterization because I didn't get a lot of that from the book, if I'm being honest. Like he did fall
You didn't
hard,
read
but he
these
didn't.
books, we're trying to tell you.
Yes, he did fall hard, but it wasn't like it didn't really vibe with me the way that they did that. So I like the seeds that they're planting for Gregory, and I appreciate that they are being planted.
Yeah. So they all sit down, the boys, on these two settees, and they're talking about like Gregory needs advice on how to handle girls.
And then he's like, why didn't you come to me? I'm the most experienced. And he's like, yeah, but not the most successful.
Yeah, you're not married, so clearly you haven't been very successful. I'm like, oh, you go, Gregory. Yes, that is the best burn we've gotten out of you ever.
Gregory's starting foam fights. He's doing everything.
It's all about it.
Gregory and Hyacinth have really shined this season in a
Oh, and
way
I
that
love
I've
them.
been wanting.
I love them.
And Gregory, again, was never my favorite book character. Especially in his own book, but even in other ones, like he was funny, but he wasn't like great. Like the other guys, I think the problem is, and this can be a
It
part of his
lost
character,
steam.
not just that, but like I think that each of the other guys had their thing. And Gregory's thing, being a romantic, could have been leaned in more for me personally. That would have made him stand out a bit more, but I think that helps him like be a juxtaposition to those guys, because the other guys
They're all about their identity.
all have the same kind of trope of like, oh, I'm a rake.
Yeah.
And that's it. Well, at least in the show that they have been doing that so far. Colin less so in the books. He
Yeah.
wasn't like really a
Whenever he's not
rake.
a rake, he's a romantic. And
Yes.
I see that in Antony as like his form of being a romantic is being a rake. You know what I mean? Like
Yes.
he wants perfection so badly and knows he shouldn't. Like I shouldn't have that because I'm gonna die. Which is idiotic. But
Oh,
he
daddy
goes in the
issues.
opposite direction because
Yeah.
of that.
Benedict is a rake because he is trying to fill this need and
Void.
this void that, like, Sophie in the time where
He
he
has no
doesn't
work
have
identity.
her.
He has no
Yeah.
other goal.
Yeah, and he always feels like he's second choice every time.
Right.
Colin in the books is
He's
not
a
really a
travel
rake.
dude.
He's a traveler. And he loves his travel
Not a
blog.
gypsy. Not a
Not
gypsy.
no,
Just pointing that out.
but he loves that he's trying to figure out his identity outside of his brothers as well, because he's always living in their shadow as well. And so I think that them again planting the seeds for Gregory to be completely different. If they change that, I'm gonna be kind of annoyed, because it makes sense for Benedict to be a rake. It makes sense for Antony to be a rake. I think the Colin thing, like I said at
It was
the
a stretch,
yeah
but
in
he
the
gave it up
podcast
very
episode,
quickly, which was
that
great.
helped. But like them even attempting it was kind of like, all right, well, we've seen this show before.
Right.
Like,
And
let's not go
one of the
that
things we
far.
don't get to see, well, anyway, so they have this conversation, and the conversation basically goes like this. The guys, Mr. Finch is like, it was love at first sight for me, and then like secretly he's Mr. Cheddar. And
Well,
then
that's not
Mr.
secret.
Jenkins.
I would also like to say we also rewatched the episode where Mr. Finch is introduced, and we rewatched the
Oh, they're
season one
so
episode. We
cute.
hadn't watched season one in so long. When he
He's
shows up with
so
those,
cute. And he's allergic to the
he's allergic to
flowers.
the flowers.
So cute. Yes. He's
Aww.
like, but I wanted you to have them. He's just adorable. But anyway. Point being that Mr. Dankworth then is like, I had to court all summer my beautiful wife, and sometimes you have to like kind of pursue it.
Yeah.
And Gregory's like, well, how do you know, like, if you meet the person that you like, how do you know what you're supposed
What
to
do
be
you
doing? What do
do?
you do? And Colin,
Well, Benedict's about to say something
thank God he
stupid.
doesn't. Colin says, this is what my brother Anthony told me. You need to take the risk. If you really love somebody, you have to be vulnerable, and you have to tell them the truth, and you have to put it on the line, and you have to keep fighting for it, which
And you know where he learned that? His mama.
that's true. It's true. But like you have to take the risk and bare your soul and just go after it. And we're all kind of like, yeah. And Benedict's kind of going, hey, my brain cell is still hurting, but that makes sense. How can Antony be smart? Wait a minute.
Yeah, because like
So,
in his mind, he's been justifying this mistress thing because, well, Anthony did it.
well,
And it's just
but
like,
not after Kay. And that was something that was
yeah.
pointed out to him. He was not listening,
No.
clearly, because he's an idiot.
One brain
So
cell.
one brain cell, which is on his penis. It's
And
not a
I
genital wart. I'm pointing this out.
mean, most of this, the first half of this episode, is him sitting back, hearing other people give him great advice or talking about their
And
woes and
going,
him thinking
no.
thoughtfully and being thoughtful and being like,
And
maybe
then saying, no,
this could apply to
I want
me.
to be a mistress.
Even this could apply to
He's
me.
so
Oh,
dumb. Benedict.
he's
But
so dumb. If I'm being honest, though, if this is the episode where I would rather have an episode, half an episode of this than it be the rest of this season. You know what I mean? Like, I think that in general, this season could have been a lot more annoying. Like, because the book has a lot of the pining and like waiting for like the perfect moment for whatever. And we'll discuss that a little bit more later, but I think that this, what the showrunners did, I really appreciate of just like, let's cut the bullshit because we've put up with a lot of bullshit in the first half of like the whole mistress thing and all that
Yeah, but
stuff.
there's still a lot of mistress thing to come. I'm just saying.
That much. Like, I mean, mistress thing, no. Not as much as you'd think. I think that they would have, I was concerned that they were going to make that like half of the rest of this half of like, maybe she'll do the mistress thing. Maybe she'll do that. It's
Because
like,
that's in the book that way.
yeah, because
And
that's
honestly, well,
majority of the book is him trying to convince her.
right.
Either
And he
way.
does say the things, and he continues to say the things for a while still.
Either
All
way.
right, so recital
Recital time.
time. And this is so cute. I love Hyacinth and her recital stuff. And I love how she gets on a path and she stays with it. So like
Yes.
Eloise is trying to give her the feather and she's like, no, I don't want to look as
The feather that
stupid
she
as you.
bought
I don't
while
want to.
Benedict was distracting her.
Yeah, I don't want to look as stupid as you think I look. And Sophie did my hair exactly the way I want. Go away,
Yeah.
essentially.
And I think she's just proving that, like, you're still doing this for selfish reasons.
Yeah.
Like, initially, before Violet put the whole, like, maybe marriage, you'll go back on the marriage march thing, you immediately threw down the gauntlet of, all right, well, this is going to be for selfish reasons if you redouble your efforts now.
And she redoubled her efforts
And she really did.
immediately.
And she really did. And it's one thing, I think that Hyacinth was just being stubborn at first, but now that she's seen that it's still for selfish reasons, she's just not going to forgive her yet.
Yeah, and
Like,
so and Violet even says to Eloise, "Well, look, you know, they're going to be a bunch of the older guys as chaperones here. You need to get yourself back out there." And
yeah.
but Hyacinth and Hyacinth's talking about we need to have a lot of lemonade because I've heard if guys are interested, they'll bring you lemonades. So we need lots of lemonade.
And
And
Gregory's like,
he
I didn't hear about that.
no one told
I've got to say, again, I think
me
that
about lemonade.
this half of the season really gave me, and we'll discuss some other examples later, but I think this season in particular showed me some pairings of siblings that we don't usually get to see. Like,
Sure.
for example, we got to see in the first half Eloise and Hyacinth. Like, we
Yeah.
haven't really seen a lot of them.
Yeah, we didn't get to see, and we still don't get to see much of Eloise and Francesca, although we do
Yeah,
get a
but we
little
got a little bit. I mean, not a ton, but we got like at least a scene.
Yeah.
And in this part of the episode, we get to see quite a bit of Colin and Gregory, and I
It's
really, really
so
like it.
cute.
I love
So
Colin being a hype man for his little brother, and I think
cute.
now that he's found love, he's kind of in a similar vein of like Daphne was in season
Or
two.
Anthony, even
Yeah,
like
like
he, the
Anthony in
hype man.
season three is just
So,
like, okay, well, if you're going to pursue her, you got to do it like this, or
you
get out
can't
there,
make
get
the
out
same
there,
mistakes.
mistakes I did.
Yeah, get out there,
If
man.
you
And
like her, you got to
so they go in and
which
they're
is
like,
so
there's
cute.
some guys from Eton milling about, and Nicholas Mondrich is there, and he's very young.
He's cute.
And so like they call the first dance. And Hyacinth's hoping for like some older Eton guy, and she gets Nicholas Mondrich. She's like,
Who's sweet, but
oh.
it's just
And
like,
she handles it correctly, but you
yeah.
can see she's disappointed.
Yeah.
But Gregory, this whole time, is like, oh, that girl's hot. I want that girl.
And she's really cute.
And she is really cute, but some other guy gets to her first. He does get to dance with her in the end, and Hyacinth does get to dance with this tall guy that she's got an eye on who looks
And
remarkably like
actually
Gregory, a little
starts
creepy.
talking to her. It's
Yes,
like, oh,
they're having
okay.
a conversation.
And Gregory tries to spark a conversation with the other girl, but she gets cut off by the instructor and then walks off because she's feeling awkward about it.
Right, but the tall guy like is having conversations with Hyacinth, and she's like, "Oh, I'm thirsty." He's like, "I am too." And he goes over and gets himself lemonade, does not, and walks away.
He does
And
not give her lemonade.
then Eloise comes in to try to talk to Hyacinth about how great her footwork it was, and Hyacinth's like, "No,
She's not gonna. I
not
don't
now."
blame her. And Colin immediately after the young girl walks away from Gregory, he's just like, "How'd it go? Did you talk? Was it good conversation?" And it's just
And
like, "Oh
Gregory's
my
like,
God,
I think I'm in love.
that's so cute and so Gregory. I love
So
it,
funny.
and I love Colin because I love the, I just had this thought now of Colin is in his like post-matrimony arc of everyone around me needs to
Needs to
be
be
in
in love.
love.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in this mindset of just like, all right, well, you start as friends. Like, he's thinking of his situation.
Right.
Like, for example, Daphne was just like, well, telling Anthony, being like, all right, well, I was in this situation with the Duke. Like, don't be a fucking idiot.
Talk,
Talk to
speak,
her.
stop being
You
stupid.
clearly have feelings for her, do it. And Anthony kind of calls Anthony and Kate both
Yeah.
call out Colin, being like, well, why aren't you just telling her your feelings? And he's just like, I don't know.
I don't
Meanwhile,
know.
Colin is just like, well, you could be friends and then you could turn into lovers and you actually need to tell her
Yes, you must
immediately.
tell her.
Don't
You
wait
must tell
10
her.
years.
Yeah.
Don't wait 10
And
years.
don't be caught on the front step saying, I will never marry but I'll be their friend. That as it may. So we have
That's from the book, by the way.
we have Benedict trying to talk to Sophie. There's a dance that interrupts. It's
Well,
very cute.
he's trying what he says, and we misinterpreted this from the trailer. She asks, do you need anything? He's like, no, I found it. And he's clearly changed his tune. I think that he now has the mindset that Colin, the lovesick puppy, has given him of, okay, well, if you like her, tell her. Maybe confess your feelings before you just
Say, be my
propose something
mistress,
stupid.
because you're a
Yeah,
dumbass.
like, it's just.
So he's trying to talk to her. He gets interrupted. He has to dance with Hyacinth because he's her chaperone, and it's cute.
It's so cute.
And then the
He's.
Montraches. I want to
Yeah,
note
go ahead, do
this.
the mantra too.
Alice is trying to find out if Miss Hollis was the right person. Violet tells her no, and then she is talking to her husband, like, it's probably time to go. Let's find Nicholas, who's probably gone upstairs.
With Gregory.
And with Gregory, and then we can go. And so Alice has gone upstairs first. Sophie overhears Footman John telling the other servants that he knows now that Araminta Gunn, who is Lady Pedwood, is living next door. And
Yes.
Sophie's like, I feel bad. I must go to bed now.
Before we get to that, we see Benedict and Hyacinth, which is another pairing that we don't usually get to
That's
see.
true.
And we get to see him be like, yeah, Eton boys suck. I'm going to twirl you now. And so he twirls her a couple times to make it more funny. He's like, all right, fine, back to the regular steps so that you don't freak out.
But
And
she had such a good time. It made her feel so much
yeah, it's
better.
so sweet. And I think that's like a really good dynamic to see, like the way they showed that dynamic, because Hyacinth is a lot more rigid and structured, not quite as rigid and structured as maybe a Daphne or Francesca, but she is more that vein. And on the spectrum of people, Eloise is so far the other direction, while they're a little bit more towards the middle. And so when he breaks the mold a little bit, it excites her and it makes her happy and it makes her laugh, but he still is able to right the path and be like, all right, let's go back to what you know. Let's not make you look stupid. We're just having fun here and we're back to what you know. And it's very, very sweet.
It's sweet,
And
and
you only need that one brief moment, really. It's
just like feel a little bit better, and she
yeah.
really needed that. So
I think just generally this part like realized the mistakes that they have made in the past of isolating their leads, because it's so important to see the dynamics with the siblings that I think Benedict gets a moment with basically every sibling.
we're going to talk about it. Let's keep going.
Either
So
way.
in this episode, Sophie runs upstairs.
Yes.
Benedict goes to follow, and Violet follows him because she knows. And she's like, Benedict Bridgerton, you need to leave that girl alone. I don't know what's going on, but you need to leave her alone. And Benedict's like, you have no room to talk. You're sleeping with Lord Anderson just down the hall from your kids. You don't need to be talking to me about my life. And she's
You know
like,
what? Fair. You know
Literally.
what? Fair.
It is totally fair.
No, it is
Totally
absolutely
fair.
valid of just like, hey, you want to meddle in my sex life? Fuck you. Not fuck
Fair.
you, but like, hey,
Yeah.
look at yourself in the mirror and tell me that you aren't like doing
You are
something
without
similar.
sin.
Throw the
Exactly.
first stone.
Exactly. And so
Either way.
she is so struck by that. She's like,
And then
ah.
she leaves him alone. And
He goes upstairs. He follows Sophie upstairs. Sophie.
I love that till the end, he's still being like, well, I'm just grabbing something from my room.
Everybody knows, you dumbass.
You are
So,
not slick, my man.
no, not at all. So Sophie goes into, I guess it's his bedroom, to talk to him, but Alice sees, like, they're so rushing, they're rushing you into the bedroom. They don't realize that Alice has come out of another bedroom on the same hallway and sees them go into this bedroom
She
and
also
hears
overhears some
them.
of it
And
because they
she's like,
start talking in the hallway.
right. And Sophie's like, I can't be your mistress, basically.
Yeah.
And
Not in the hallway, but like when they go back into the bedroom, she's essentially like, you hurt me and you are not recognizing that. I was hurt by the fact that you dangled a fantasy in front of me that will never come true, and you don't understand what being a mistress means to me and about me. I would lose my self-respect. I would lose so much. I would lose my position, my reputation. I'd lose so much for what? And I love,
And he's like,
she
you're
doesn't
right.
say this, but like, I care about you, but you, I would be sacrificing so much
To be with
to
you.
be with
And
you.
he's like, you're right. You are right. I can't be with a maid. I can't be in love with a maid and have her fill every minute of my time, want to be with her every minute of every day. But I do. I love you. I love all of you. I want to be with just you, only you.
She brings up
And I
the.
love you, and I don't understand what to do about it. And this is the only thing I can think of. And she's kind of like, you love me?
Yeah, she says that, but then she's also like, but what if you grow tired of me? And he's just like, I won't. And she's like, well, you'll have to marry. Like, that's what everybody, that's the problem with
Everybody
being a
expects.
mistress, because you'll all be always be second choice. It will always be your wife over me.
And he's like,
And he's just like,
no.
I will never look at somebody the way I look at you. You will always be my first choice. I love you.
And she's like, I love you too.
And she's like, I love you. And
And
then he, and
then
then
it's on.
it's on. And
It
it's to Lose Control by Teddy Swims, which is a great song.
is such a great song. I
Such a
loved
good
that
song.
song long before the show.
Yeah,
And
I
it's so
love that
perfect
song.
for this specific number.
They've been
So
doing pretty good with
they
the
have.
songs
They've
that
done really well. Like
they've.
last season wasn't that great from a song perspective. It's
Some fun ones like
yeah.
Jealous and ABCDEFU
And Comfort.
and
And
Confident. Oh,
Sorry, but
Confident was
yeah,
a great Neil Brown.
most of the songs are kind of meh.
But this season, I've
This
not
season they hit
recognized
now.
as many, but the ones I do recognize
This one's
hit
really good.
really hard.
Yeah, this one's really good.
Like Enchanted and this, like, oh, it's so good. And Lose Control is exactly what Sophie's doing.
Right. And
And
she just can't
she's
hold back anymore.
relinquishing her control over the
And
situation.
he's like, do you want this? And she's like, I want it the whole time.
Yeah.
So like they have oral on the table, which is actually a thing from Francesca's book. I'm noting this because I have a feeling
I think they'll still
maybe
keep something similar.
it's not identical. But anyway,
I think if they
Ed.
were going to keep a scene
Yeah.
from Francesca's book, it would be the one in the middle of the storm.
Oh yeah, in the cabin.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Either
we'll get
way,
to that.
so yeah, he eats her out on a table, and then
I
they
think that's
have sex
chronology.
and.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. He gives her oral on the table, and then they actually do quite a bit in this scene. And I was really shocked about this scene because I didn't see any, obviously we weren't going to see much in the promo for
And
it, but the
she
most of the
comes up.
promo that we saw was about the bath scene, which we know from the book. And
Right,
I
right.
was assuming they were just going to move it up, but they didn't. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah, I do.
I think that where it lands is good. But with this, we see a lot more, and like them doing it in different positions and all that stuff. It's
And they're
changing things
both,
up.
yeah, like it's a very passionate
It's
love
rather
novel scene.
passionate. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
really good though. I like the sex. I think it's
I think it's
great.
really good.
They're
Yeah.
also just gorgeous people doing gorgeous
Course they
things
are,
because,
but
oh
you
my
know.
God, Yarenha is so pretty. Oh
And
my
both are
God.
just gorgeous people.
And there was
So.
actually a moment in this episode when they were talking outside of the shops. We finally got one of those like glamour shots that they've been doing on Yaren all season of like lips,
Yes.
eyes, whatever. We
Yeah.
get that on Benedict, and it
Yeah.
was a nice change of just like she's seeing him and like
Yeah.
his beauty and all that stuff. And it's just, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty great.
And so yeah, they have sex and it's really good.
That's the episode. What are your best
I have a
parts?
lot of best parts,
Yeah, I
actually.
didn't write down all of the things that I would consider best parts because some of them are teeny and I didn't want
I put down the teeny
to. I put
parts.
some down teens.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. That whip shot stuff, if you've never had a whip shot, I didn't know this existed. My best friend Lisa sent
Thank you,
this to me.
Lisa. Love you.
And apparently it's like vodka, whipped cream, and flavoring, and it's whip, and it comes out like whipped cream, and it is such a great enhancement to all sorts of things. So I don't ever really fully grasp how much the vodka carries with that. So I may have had more than I expected. So best parts.
You want to do yours first?
I
Oh,
can't.
I have a long list.
I have a fairly long list, but
Okay, then I'll do mine.
okay.
Benedict Sophie Love Confession. I love the way it's written. I think that he really needed to make it up to her, and I think they did a really good job in this scene starting that process. And the love confession, again, it's just very sweet, and it covers a lot of ground that they need to cover. It doesn't leave a lot of questions left on the table as far as like feelings are concerned. So now it's just navigating the expectations of society and all of that stuff, and that's a complicated issue. But that's what the rest of the season's going to be about. And sex, it's really good sex. Will, thank you for talking to his one brain cell and trying to convince him that he really needs to shut the fuck up and just try a different tactic of, hey, tell her how you feel or cushion the blow a
Yeah,
bit. Like, if this
try
is
to be
your
a
only
human.
option in your eyes, you need to make her it
You
seem
just
more
sell it a
appealing than
little
that.
bit. Yeah.
Hyacinth, I think she's so funny. It's very on brand for her to be as controlling as she is being with the event and how she wants every little detail to go perfectly. She's building up these guys in her mind to be these like paragons of, oh, they're from Eton. Even though her brother goes there, she should know better. But it's just, I think it's really cute that she has like her bubble is burst by, oh, men can also kind of suck a little bit. They can be like lackluster dance partners and they will not get you lemonade all the time. And sometimes you're just not desired by them.
Okay, so let's think about this. The entirety of Hyacinth's existence has been with Bridgerton Bros, right? Like, Gregory isn't the greatest of the Bridgerton Bros, but like, Antony's always been really sweet to her and danced with her and all of those things. Obviously, Benedict has too. Colin probably did. We didn't see much of that. So, your expectations for guys is pretty high. Despite the fact that their relationships have been weird, you haven't been part of or privy to a lot of that. You're aware of
No.
some of it. And you get to, you, I we never talk about Daphne and Simon, but that's pretty awesome too. So she's had a lot of, in her shelter universe, a lot of good guys, and she has to realize that, oh, many guys are not Bridgerton guys.
Yeah. Next up, Gregory. So good. I love the seeds that they're planting. I hope they continue in this direction of less rakish, more lovesick puppy, but very easy to fall in love, but and fall hard and then get his heart broken and all that stuff. I think that is an easier track to go with, and it would differentiate him from his brothers quite a
Yeah,
bit.
I didn't write down Gregory, although I
He's
totally
also
agree.
so funny.
I
His line
really like,
delivery is really good in this.
yeah, I really like Gregory, especially in this episode, but I do like what they're doing with him.
I love him being like, well, yes, you are, but you weren't successful, were you? You're not
Yeah, so
married.
why would I listen to you?
Why would I listen to
Like, because clearly his goal is not just love or rakishness or whatever. It
you?
is to be married because that's what he understands the goal of a relationship to be.
Because he seems, and this was shown a little bit in season two, that he really idolizes Edmund, a
Yeah.
man he never really got to know,
Yeah.
and he wonders if he could be like him. And the example that he knows of him is more Antony than anything else. And
Yeah.
Antony has this great love for Kate that he has seen, and that's
Well,
a
and Colin too.
yeah,
Colin and Penelope are lovely together.
that's also true. And I also think that, and this is in his book as well. Gregory sees Kate and Antony more as his parents.
Yeah.
Not that Violet isn't, but it's just that he has
They're a
fostered
couple
more
together, yeah.
at
What do we
he's
call?
taken under their wing way more as because like It's a different dynamic.
Right, because he is hormonal during a period when Kate and Anthony are newlyweds. So he
Yeah.
gets to like
He
be.
latches on to them a little bit more than he did to Violet, and he never knew Edmund. So it's a little it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic that I hope they continue if they can get the beautiful Simone Ashley and Jonathan Bailey back for season eight. Either way, Colin hyping Gregory up. I love Colin in this episode. I think that this is a good use of Colin. You don't see much of Colin for the rest of this season, which is a shame.
Oh, it's
But
all
I was
so
asking
wasted.
for a little bit more of him, and this is a little bit more. And what they use with him, it
It's
can,
really good.
and reframing it in my mind as this is his postmarital arc of like, I'm going to hype up my siblings so much, and I want them to be in love so bad, and I like that.
The thing I don't like is that in his own book, he becomes an author in his own right. And he has an identity of his own, and his only identity now is supporting character, even to
Yeah.
Penelope. And I'm kind of like,
And it's disappointing.
it's kind of like in his season, it wasn't about Colin, it was about Penelope. And I don't like that necessarily. I think they've wasted him in many ways. That is not what this season's about. Proceed.
Let's see. Alfie, all caps, love
Definitely.
Alfie.
Alfie's awesome.
Sophie. B
Sophie.
is the funniest. He's literally.
Sophie, be his mistress.
No, he's literally every best friend hearing some hot gossip. Like, he is just like, oh my God, what did you do? Oh my God, Sophie, how could that happen? What do you mean you work for the Bridgertons? What do you mean? I love it. The Dinner Club. Fucking love them. That is the funniest shit.
I
Tanya and
did
Dean.
too.
Oh my God, I love them so much.
So
I love
good.
that they do that. I
It's
love that
so
we got to
funny.
see it. It's
Yes.
everything to me. I love it.
Love it.
Francesca and Michaela patching things up. I think that was a really important step to like get back on track for their book and their season because like I said, it's like you don't really get, and it's still a problem, which I'll talk about later on in this season, that we don't really get to see much of them as a trio. However, we at least get to see them be friendly, and we get to see a little bit more of that being established because they need a relationship before things go off the rails, before all that stuff. And the music, I really love the choice of Lose Control.
Yeah, I think the music again, I think they've done well with choices this season so far. My best part's Benedict finally confessing that he loves her. I think that this is one of those great speeches. It is not quite, I've seen it compared online to Mr. Darcy in 2005 Pride and Prejudice. No, I'm
I
sorry.
wouldn't say go
Matthew
that far.
McFadden is like, I'm sure that is what Luke Thompson was going for. He's
And he's
not
getting
there.
there, but
He's trying. He's not getting there.
and
It
he can't really match the
That's
vibes of that. You can't.
horrible.
Those vibes are unmatched.
I love you most
Oh,
ardently.
I can
Oh
see
my
that.
God.
Like the repeated "I love you," I did, that was really impactful in that scene, in this
But
scene.
yeah, but
But
again, we haven't had it's not gonna be that.
we
It
can't
can't be. They
compare,
are
though.
different people.
We can't compare.
I never ever imagine Mr. Darcy in a throuble saying that. Benedict confessing his love, I think, is such an important thing for him to talk it when you're talking about losing control. Like, this is something that he has run from, the idea
Yeah.
of being devoted to one person. He even says that in the speech. He talks about, I've spent all my life trying to be constantly in motion, and now I only want to be in one place, and that's next to you.
Yeah.
And it is such a change for him.
That's
It
so
is a
sweet.
change too in how they make love, because he's very
Oh yeah.
focused on her. We talked about this.
Well, I
And
off podcast, yes. I would I mentioned when we were rewatching the sex scene, I mentioned that we've never seen him have sex like this. We've seen him have sex before,
lot,
several times.
much.
But we hadn't seen him quite so emotionally invested in the sex scene. We've seen him have fun. We've seen him have dalliances, but we've never seen him get so emotional about it. Not
Right,
like
like
it's
it's
not like
all
he's
of his thing.
crying during it, but he's very focused on her and her needs and what she
Well,
wants. And it's just so
it is his whole
sweet.
being instead of just personal jacking off. I that's a bad way to put
Yeah,
it,
that's
but
not the best way to put it.
yeah, but I mean, it's not just about his physical satisfaction. It is about their joining, and that's very evident in how this is filmed and how it is acted. And I think that's extraordinary. It's really hard to pull off. But it's something that this show does remarkably well, which is why we watch it.
Yeah.
I love Hyacinth. I always love Hyacinth, but I think that they are using her well, especially in this episode. I think this is great. I like Francesca being drunk and actually talking. I will say this, Francesca in the book doesn't talk much either. She's really fucking annoying, and I hate her in her own book. Because she just, everyone talks about her, but she doesn't talk very much.
And I
And
think
it,
that
I,
they're making amends for that, I think,
yeah,
a bit.
and making amends for like the seasons and seasons of Francesca not being present, Francesca not speaking, things. So this was good from a Francesca character arc standpoint.
This whole like half of the season is a really good dissection of Francesca.
Love Alfie. Oh my God, he's
Love Alfie.
fantastic. The Featherington Bros, that whole Dying Club thing, fantastic. Will, spot on, dude. Love it. I love Sophie, and I love Sophie and Benedict, but I want to specifically talk about Sophie articulating to Benedict why it is so bad to be a mistress for her.
Yes.
Because he's hearing this from other people, but he's not listening. And but when she speaks to him about it, it seems like it kind of penetrates the single brain cell, or at least for a moment, and then they have sex and it's out the window again. But I think that he's got to hear it from her in a very concrete way for it to make any sense to him. And I'm glad that she says the things that she does. So I think all of those things are really good. What were your worst parts?
My worst parts are Benedict being dumb.
The single brain cell is a problem.
I'm sorry, but you usually have a lot more in emotional intelligence that when a woman leaves the room after you just fingered her against a wall, after you said, "You want to be my mistress?" and then she leaves,
Runs
clearly
away,
like
and no one's
upset.
there at that point. Like, there's not, she, you haven't been interrupted. She's fleeing from
Well,
you.
no, there's somebody who like
Eventually,
asks her, but it's
that was after she gets to the bottom of the stairs.
so you thinking, "Oh, she still hasn't answered my question," is kind of ridiculous. So you sending her that fuck ass note of like, "Do you like me, yes or no?" It's just like, dude, what are you talking about? And then I absolutely throw that shit in the fire, girl. And then cornering her and being like, "So, what was that about?" It's just like, what do you mean? I don't want to
I
be
would
your
think that this is
mistress.
pretty clear. Let me say it to your face.
Other people telling
No.
him being a mistress kind of sucks. Being like, no one wants to be hidden. It never penetrates his fucking brain cell until he actually hears it, like you said, from Sophie being like, "You hurt me. That hurt me. Like what you said about being a mistress and all of that stuff, and you saying it so flippantly, like it doesn't matter, that hurt me." And fair.
Yeah, no, I will say some of the stuff he says later is going to be annoying. We're not there yet. We're still on this episode, which is nice.
Dumb eating boys.
I didn't put that down, but it's
Like, come
funny.
on, man. You've got a lot more. You were raised a gentleman. You're not getting a girl, a cute girl, a lemonade. You've got to be kidding me.
He's poor.
The queen. Just let the girl retire. It is her choice to retire. You need to get your gossip from somewhere else, and you gotta just shut the fuck up. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've got.
I really despise Benedict's single brain cell. Araminta. Fucking awful.
Oh, I forgot about Araminta. Oh my God, fuck her.
Varley. So part of we didn't talk about this. So
We did.
Varley overheard that
We did talk about
Sophie,
this.
yeah, that Sophie's working at Bridgerton House. But when she gets in this fight with Araminta, she confesses, like, "Oh, I think that girl Sophie that you're looking for is at Bridgerton House," and so that's the contact that prompts Sophie to run upstairs and have sex. Yay!
Oh, also Rosamond.
Ellen Rosamond's just terrible. Rosamond's consistently terrible. She's such a small character, But when she is present, she's annoying. So she's always bad.
Yeah. Posey's sweet, though.
Yeah, Varley, though, I think that was just a poor choice on her
Yeah,
part.
Varley, I'm not going to make her a worse part because she was put in a really shit position.
She is. And I have Michaela as a worst part. Part of the reason I have Michaela as a worst part is this whole, like, I'm going to take over your house. I'm going to tell you you suck. I'm closer to John than you are. That whole thing. Now, the fact that Francesca calls her out on her and she apologizes at the end of this episode, I think is important as character growth, but it doesn't completely make up for everything yet, and I still am skeptical.
I wasn't
So,
really reading it that way. I was reading it as
oh, I definitely
this is
did.
where she feels the most comfortable, but she is overstepping, which Francesca points out, and she apologizes for that. But Francesca also oversteps by like trying to match her up, even though John told her not to. And we actually see John, and we don't men I didn't mention this. John actually snaps at her a little bit by
Which
being like,
bothers
"I
me.
told you not to try to set her up with
But
somebody."
this is part of the reason, and I do empathize with Francesca in this. Like, she Francesca's had to sacrifice a bunch for Michaela in a very short period of time. She shows up at your house uninvited. She takes over like the scheduling and everything. You don't get any more time with your husband because he's spending all his time with her. She wants to like not have breakfast when you have breakfast. I mean, just all of these things. And then it's like, well, I think you should change the schedule. Why are you so rigid? What's wrong with you? You should be more flexible. I think John needs flexibility like I'm offering him. What's up with that? All of those things on top of what's going on with Francesca anyway. And then John is more defensive of Michaela than to you than he is of you to Michaela. No.
Yeah,
No,
that's
it is
fair.
not okay. I'm totally on Francesca's side with this. And it
Yeah,
takes a lot because I'm not a Francesca fan generally, but in this instance, absolutely.
no, I totally get that, and I think that Francesca, I don't think she did anything maliciously of like, hey, he did express interest, the guy that she introduces to Michaela. He does express interest, and so Francesca was like, okay, whatever.
Here's this
Maybe he'll be a
guy.
distraction so I can hang out with John.
Yeah.
And obviously that backfires on her, but she.
But she's not even like presenting him as a serial. Well, he clearly feels
But
that way.
she's
She's
also.
just wanting, like, here, talk to somebody
Well,
else.
she also admits that she wasn't handling it maturely and that she was being inconsiderate of Michaela's feelings in that moment. But she also tells Michaela, you've been inconsiderate of my feelings. And
In a
again,
big way, not in a little way. Like, I didn't get to go to my sister's
she doesn't bring that up.
thing. She doesn't to Michaela, but she does to other people. So it's clearly come up. It has clearly come up as an issue. And she's clearly upset about it. Like, I wanted to be spending time with my family, and we're doing this instead. And that's fine, but it would have been better if I'd been able to plan for it, you know?
And I love, and not gonna lie, I love John, but he's not really doing a great job of reassuring
No.
Francesca at this
No,
moment
he's
because,
not.
and it's clear that this was kind of how it was in Scotland
Yeah,
because they would be
exactly.
up at all hours. She's trying to like regain some stability of their relationship, being like, all right, well, this is what married life is like. Let's figure out how it is living together, how it is our day to day.
I'm
And
100% on Francesca's side with this. Just saying.
yeah, I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying that I also could see, and Michaela does explain why she is so attached to John,
Partially.
but she also, Francesca doesn't like her peace disturbed, and John knows that. So I'm also putting a little bit of blame in John's direction of like, you know how regimented her
Yeah, Francesca can be
vibe
very,
is.
very structured.
Like, because Francesca even says, she's just like, I'm okay with allowing a little bit of chaos, just a little bit of chaos into my life. She says this to Michaela, and she's like, but as long as I get to go to bed at 10 o'clock, and she's just like, okay, that God forbid you go to bed later than that, absolutely deal. And again, I like where they end up. I do agree that Michaela does overstep.
And this dynamic is not obviously fully fleshed out yet. And we're going to see where that goes. It is being handled better than it has been previously. I'm not convinced yet. You maybe I'm not. What grade did you give this episode?
I don't know.
This is hard. It was
I
between
think
an A and an A minus for
it's an A.
me. It's
I
probably
have a
an
lot of great there are a lot
A.
of
There
great
are
things.
really good things in this
Because
movie.
I genuinely think that I have so many best parts, and there were so many funny parts that I really enjoyed. There are emotional
So
there are some emotional parts, like, and there's a lot of honesty in this episode that I really appreciate, which you
which is
don't usually see in a
rare.
first episode of a second part.
True.
Because usually we're at that stage where we're in denial, denial, denial.
Well, I think the difference is the dynamic here. So the obstacle in this relationship is not something of their creation, it is something of society's creation.
That's
It's
why I like
external.
this season a lot.
It's
It's
external.
so
And so
different.
because it's external, they can be as honest as they want to be with each other, and it doesn't overcome the obstacle on its
Right.
own.
I think that's why, I hope, I'm pretty sure that's why a lot of people are responding so positively to this season,
Oh,
including
are
me.
they?
What?
I haven't been re reading
I'm
much
just,
about
from what I've seen
reaction.
and what I've heard from other people who have watched it, like one of my coworkers was watching it today, actually, and she finished it and she really enjoyed it. And I think some, and I see a lot of shit on Facebook, but a lot of people are calling this, or I say a lot, I saw one person say this was their favorite season. I think the reason probably is not just the chemistry and the scripts and all of that stuff, but I think generally it's just a breath of fresh air for the franchise. It's just it's not like so different from everything else, but it feels fresher because it's slightly different. And it's a different obstacle than we're overcoming feelings, like whatever. I think that's also what makes the second part of the season so refreshing of like, yes, we dealt with like, well, maybe he doesn't like me. No, he does like you. He's just being stupid about it. This is like, all right, well, now we're going to stop being stupid about it. And this point in the season, setting up for the rest of the second half, you don't have an emotional barrier there, other than like other than we can't get married the way we want to.
Right. We can't. We have not figured out how to fight society.
Yeah, and they're
Is what
going to
this comes
figure
down
it out eventually, but we all know that. But
to.
it's not really a spoiler.
It's
But
not.
there are going to be things along the way, but they're really external. They're not internal things. And there obviously are going to be some emotional blocks along the way, but
But the
it's
emotional blocks are not
unfounded
right.
and
That
random.
right, exactly. Or created by like lies or something. It's like, or created by like weird shit.
Or miscommunication.
Right.
And I really do appreciate it. And then we'll talk about that next episode. That's a really next episode
For
thing.
those of you who are looking forward to the other episodes of Bridgerton for this season, we will at the end of this compare season to season because there that
That's gonna be
brought to
cool.
mind. It brought to mind some things from the second half of last season that I think are worth comparing from an external
What do
standpoint.
you
That
mean? We'll talk about it off
we're going to
podcast.
talk about. It to when we're
But
comparing season to season.
just generally, I think that it's this new format and the. I was surprised by them having sex so soon, but I think it does make a lot of sense.
It's not inconsistent with the book, though.
Oh, no, it's not. It's just, I think that it was.
And
I was
his.
expecting the first sex scene to be the bath scene that they've been promoting so much, but I liked the kind of like flip of like, oh, no, we've got this really big one.
Well, but the bath scene is later in the story, so they keep it in place.
Well,
Anyway,
we knew that, but that we didn't know if they were going to move
so we have much more Bridgerton, yay, to
it.
come. We are looking forward to sharing it with you. We hope that you join us and
Yay! Cheers.
cheers.